Welcome, Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Yes, sir. This is Valerie Harris coming on behalf of KS Radio. We invite you to join into our service on tonight and our word. I just want to open up in prayer. God, we thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your presence with thanksgiving, Lord. Thanking you, Father, for watching over us as we have gone through the day, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bless this time. Bless this time on the radio, God, where we come, Lord God, seeking your face, Lord. Coming, Lord God, to lift up praises to your name, God. Coming, oh God, to hear from heaven, Lord God. Father, I pray for each and every person, Lord God, that's tuning in on tonight, Lord. That, Father, that you would touch every need, Lord God, fulfill every desire, Lord God, according to your riches in Christ Jesus. I cover this line with the blood of Jesus, Lord God, and I thank you, Father, that we would be one, even as our Lord and Savior prayed, that we would be one because you are one, Lord. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you the praise, for you are so worthy, God, of glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to share with you on tonight my experience over the past week. I woke up one morning, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, "Your victory is in your praise." I had been praying for a solid month covering myself, my family, my prayer family, the needs of others, my friends and ministry, praying for breakthrough. And at the end of that time that I had set aside in prayer, the Spirit said, "Your victory is in your praise." And so I was meditating and pondering on what the Spirit of the Lord was saying, and I was so hungry and so thirsty just to get in an attitude of praise and worship. And I went to this church, one that I loved dearly. I loved the people dearly. And I was just so hungry and eager to get into that atmosphere of praise and worship with other believers. And as I was sitting there waiting by myself for a while for them to come in, when the service began and the praise and worship began, and I looked around and there were people on their cell phones and people talking, and my spirit was so grieved. Because I thought about when Saul had lost his anointing and didn't even realize that the Spirit had left him. And I'm like, oh my God, that something like that could happen and we don't even realize that the presence of the Lord is not even in our midst. Of course, he never leaves us and he never forsake us, but there is something about being in an attitude of praise. And so I was seeking the scriptures, and in John 4:23, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he begins to tell her that the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so then on today, I was looking at Philippians chapter 4, beginning with the fourth verse, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we should always have that attitude of thanksgiving. But then verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, on these things." So our thought life must be with an attitude of praise. So I have this mentor that God put in my life some years ago. And it's good to have someone spiritual in your life who knows more than you do, because we all must maintain a teachable spirit. And there are things that God will endow in one person. As the scriptures say, he gives gifts to the body. So for the edifying of the body and the building up, so that the body can go out and minister. The Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And she would teach us on how God wants us to enter into his presence. And that's found in Psalms 100, when it speaks of, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that he is God. It is he that it made us, and not we ourselves." And you can just think about that. We didn't make ourselves, so we actually don't belong to ourselves. And then it goes on to say that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercies are everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. Let's go back to John. "But the hour is coming," as Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, "and is now here, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." See, we were created to worship God. And a true worshiper knows how to cast down imaginations. A true worshiper knows how to offer up thanksgiving and praise to God.
A true worshiper knows how to come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. James 4, verses 8 through 10 tells us that if we draw nigh to God, he would draw nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, that doesn't sound like praise, but that's repentance. We have to search our hearts and realize that we serve a holy God, and he deserves more from us than just coming to him any kind of way. We must come with a humble spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, he will not despise. And if we search our hearts, if we confess our sins before him, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us of all our sins, so that we can come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. As we approach the throne of grace, then we can come in with thanksgiving. Then we can come in with singing and rejoicing. I was reading this book about praise, and the writer speaks of worship as heaven's rain. And then he's describing rain. He says that rain isn't created in the sky. It is drawn up into the heavens from the earth in the form of evaporation. The barometric pressure begins to fall, pulling the moisture from the oceans, lakes, and other bodies of water into the heavens. The water rises from the earth in one form, vapor, but when it calms down, it's released in a new form, rain. That's the way praise works. You know, we have this saying that when the praises go up, the glory comes down. Now, that's not in the scripture, but it's true. When the praises go up, when we're able to lift up the praises to God from the earth into the heavens, he sends it back down to us as rain. And the writer also says that when he offers up worship in the form of water, it refreshes God. And I remember, it took me back to when I first went into a charismatic church. Well, worship and praise was so profound. People would be laying out in the floor, honoring and worshiping God. The anointing or the glory of the Lord would be so thick is that the ground was truly holy. And the pastor would say, take off your shoes, for the place that you're standing is holy ground. We entered into his gates with thanksgiving, came into his courts with praise. Your mind wasn't worried about your day. Your thoughts weren't on the fact that you had bills to pay, or that your body was sick. But when the praise and worship went up in such a manner, people's bodies got healed. The power of the living God would come into the place. into the building and you knew that you were in the presence of God. There are times in our lives come up against opposition. And you're in the midst of a struggle and you're in the midst of a storm. And you may not feel like praising God. Some people blame God and wonder, God, why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this test? I'm serving you as best I can. Why me, God? But then I thought about Jesus, about how he went to the cross. And he never asked God why. He never murmured or complained. His body was broken. He was wounded, scarred, nailed to a tree. People were mocking him, laughing at him, scorning him. And he lifted up his voice to God and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That had to be such a sacrifice of praise and adoration to God that in the midst of his circumstances, fully human, fully God, feeling the pain, but his heart was right with God. And I believe that when he looked up into the heavens and his mind, his thoughts were on the Father, that the pain didn't even matter. Stephen was being stoned to death because he was preaching the gospel. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing. And while being stoned, he said, Father, give them, for they know not what they do. And sometimes in your desperation, and sometimes in your agony, and sometimes in your pain, and we all go through that, because he said that if any desire to live righteous and holy, you will suffer persecution. But if you find yourself in the midst of the storm, if you find yourself being persecuted, if you find yourself being talked about, if you find yourself in doubt and unbelief, if you bow your knee before a holy God and begin to worship him and praise him and give him thanks in the midst of your trouble and your struggle, he will cause rain to come and rest upon your life. Anytime we can praise him and humble ourselves with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, with our whole heart, not going through the motions because it's the thing that we do on every Sunday, but how do you worship him when you're all alone? Do you sing to him? Do you minister to God? Because when we minister to the Father, he ministers back to us. He sends the answer. Victory is in your praise. Victory is when you worship. And if we've forgotten how to praise him, if we've forgotten how to thank him in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our trouble, we need to rethink and get back to loving the Father with our whole heart. We need to be passionate about our holy God. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we cannot handle something so holy as if it doesn't mean anything. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. When we're out of his will, come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart and repent and turn back, thanking him for the experience, thanking him for the privilege, thanking him that we are sons and daughters and kings and priests who are sitting with him in the heavenly places. You know, we have this saying, and I can't say I quite agree with it, where we said that we can't be so spiritual that we're no earthly good. But the carnal mind is enmity with God, those who worship him. The true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our spirit man must be greater than our natural man, and our minds must be transformed to his word and to his will. Our privilege and our honor is to satisfy him, that he may satisfy us with good things. No good thing will he withhold from those who are upright in him. Draw nigh to him. It didn't say he would draw nigh to us, for us to draw nigh to him. The scripture says, draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to us. So when you lift up holy hands, and when you bow before a holy God, drive every thought, take every thought captivity that would rise in the name of the Lord. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And the answer is on the way. Breakthrough is on the way. Victory is on the way. Praise doesn't just change the atmosphere. Praise confuses the enemy. It causes the enemy to defeat himself. He would send out the praise and the worshipers to go forth before the army. And the battle was already won. It was won because of the praise. It was won because the enemy was already defeated. If we get back into the spirit of praise, if we get back into the spirit of worship, if we get back to bowing before a holy God and repenting for being out of his will, if we get back to the very foundation of where we started from, if we get back to the cross and draw nigh to God, he will not disappoint us. The more praise we give him, the more rain he gives us, the more power he gives us, the more anointing he gives us. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Exalt his name forever, because he alone is worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor, and he's worthy of the praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I see an army coming together, an army of worshipers, an army of praisers moving out in power to destroy the works of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. And God has given us the power over principality, but the power comes from him. And when we stop praising and we stop worshiping and we stop being in his presence, then we're weak, because there's absolutely nothing we can do without him. He should be our first thought in the morning when we awake, and our last thought before we close our eyes and sleep. And when we wake up in the middle of the night, our thoughts should be on him. May the true worshipers, now is the time to come forth in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I see we have a new person. I'd like to open the line up that says a word of expression or something you want to say. I'm going to open the line up for you. One person. The last number is 1300. Are you there? Hello? Are you there? Okay, let me try this number here. 7909. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello? Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. In fact, when there is the battle, the mind is the battlefield of the enemy. But when you raise your voice in praises unto the Lord, he pulls
mm-hmm.
down strongholds.
Mm-hmm.
The shackles of the enemy is destroyed. You bring every imagination which works against God, against you, into subjection to the obedience of God. So there is power in praise. And I thank God for that message tonight. There is power in praise.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Let me see. Maybe it's somebody else. Let me see. I'm going to see. Your last 3249, your last four numbers on your cell phone, 3249. Are you there? What we do on the radio station after a speech, if someone has spoken or sent a word out, we leave a moment or two for you to say where you were blessed and how we can help you. We never give out your full phone number, even though I have it. But I see you just drop. Well, God bless you. Amen. But I just want to say this much, what God has done for us tonight. Well, we just move to the next item that God has blessed us with. We have a young lady that's coming in tonight. Tonight, his name is Princess Love. Princess Love, are you there? Princess Love, let me see.
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
praise
I'm here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, everybody. Thank God for the acknowledgement of praise. If everybody would turn with me in the Bible to Luke 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray,
my God,
say, Our Father, which art in heaven, holy would be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also, everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go into him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. This is Luke 11. I read to you from 2 to 5, 4. It's only 3 verses, 2, 3, 4, and 2, 3, and 4. And this was the Thompson chain reference, which is the King James Version. But it as you noticed, you've seen that it was a little different. What is it? Give us day by day, this version says. Give us day by day, which is the same thing. The other versions say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is, you know, the Lord's Prayer has everything in it. I keep running into people who keep saying, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what. It's all because when we try to pray, we're trying to please the other people that are hearing it. I don't even know if it's proper that we should have these so-called prayer meetings and things that people claim that we have. I've had them for years. Don't think I'm against prayer meetings. But it tends to make you lose focus on who you're praying to, you know. When you got prayer lines, prayer meeting, we're so busy trying to be politically correct for the people that are hearing the prayer, and therefore, and they cannot, I'm positive, cannot concentrate on who, on their communication with God themselves. Almighty God, the sister told it, I tell you all the time, praise God, praise his holy name. Do you know you're going to have to give account for all the time in your life that you have not exalted his name? Just his name. If you don't believe me, we can go to Revelation, and I can show you. He constantly rebukes them because they have denied or not denied. He either encourages those who have not denied his name. This is so important. The name of God is so important. Yet we bicker over that. We know he got many names. But yet we have taken on the least amount of his acknowledgments of his name and made them big, whereas the ones that he has, we use I am, we use Jah rarely. Apostle Esther uses Jah. As a matter of fact, she's the only person I've ever met that uses Jah, J-A-H. It is in the word. That is one of his names. Very few people ever, I've used it myself in my prayer to my God, in my own personal prayer life. Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim, God Almighty. Reverend, Psalms 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is his name. We could go on and on, but very few of us have taken the time to learn his name. I taught in these years that I've been on here. I've taught so many times about his name, his name, his name. I haven't forgot that we're still in Galatians. Don't think I forgot. I just wanted to point out to you the other version of the Lord's Prayer Luke 11. 11 is a very powerful book, and 11:13 is one of my favorite verses.
Amen.
Amen. I got lost. My phone cut off. I thought I wasn't sure if I was still on. God bless. Please forgive my phone. These phones act up so bad. I think mine have a little shorty or something in it. God, but we rebuke it in Jesus' name. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. So I'm back. I am back, and I will try not to move. Maybe that's what did it. But, however,
I think it was on my part. I went to do something else. That was on my part. Forgive me.
Oh, thank God. Well, thank God for you. I praise God. You're totally forgiven because I thought it was me. Hallelujah.
It was me.
Hallelujah. It's all good. And the sister is right. I mean, the first lady that was on, I really did enjoy her. I enjoy because she is so word. I just love the word. And I love the word of God. But I do want to point out to you all that we do spend so much time, I know, even myself, when I'm praying. I take prayer very personal. My communication with God is a one-on-one thing, and I really don't like sharing that part of my God with other people, you know. But the anointing does fall when I do pray on this here station or on the radio. The anointing just comes. But it's all because he that's in us is God. Is that enough? We are sons of God. I cannot say it enough. And as I was saying before, I thought we got cut off. Luke 11:13, which I say is very, very important to me. All of the word of God is. But this one can set you free if you don't know if you got the Holy Spirit. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That is why I say that is so important. Because so many of us say we're born again. So many of us say they are Christians. I don't classify myself as a Christian. I classify myself as a saint, and I'll tell you that in a minute. I don't classify myself as an evangelist, evangelical. I classify myself as a saint and a part of the body of the living Christ. I classify myself as an heir and a joint heir to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I classify myself as a saint who's been washed in the blood of Christ. And there's only one way to get in there, is to be bought. But we've been bought. And First St. John 1:12, as many as receive. See, not just a thought, not just a word, but you got to receive him. As many as received him, to them is who he gives power to become sons of God. So I thank God that I don't go under these other little titles that most people put a lot of emphasis in, as we see that they can speak one thing and be totally different and hypocritical, hypocrisy. They are hypocrites. They say they love, but yet they in their deeds and their actions, they constantly show. They was willing to sell a soul to stop abortion. They was willing to sell to agree with lies in every form to get their, you know, what they say, the devil they know is better than the devil they don't know, or something like that, one of them terms. But either way, we are on the Lord's side. And let me show you who the character of God is. This is the same God that made heaven and earth, who took, and before there was any void, the Bible say, you know, Genesis chapter 1, and you know St. John chapter 1. But just in case there's some new babes on the phone who don't know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This is God. I try to explain to people every week. I want you to make no mistakes and be under no disguise as who God is. He is liberal. He is liberty. He came that y'all don't be under bondage. But if you have sold yourselves and put yourselves under bondage to man, to things, and to lies and deception, then you can't be the servants of the Most High God. Because the Bible says, whom the Son of Man set free, he's free indeed. And reason as I meditated in the Word and on God, I find that there is nobody more liberal than God. Yet the world now, the world makes liberal seem like a dirty word. They got y'all believing that it's more godly to be conservative. And that word you don't even find in the Bible. I was told by one person that it was in Isaiah. If you find it, please call us and tell us. When you Google it, it doesn't give you that conservative is even in the Bible. However, it is not the character of God. Conservative has nothing to do with God. God is the most liberal, libertarian that is in existence. Let me tell you why. Because he, God, is allowing the liar, the thief, the murderer, the rapist, the abominations, the homos, the lesbians, the LBG, all those things that the word say are abominations. He's allowing them to live until their appointed time. Now, if the conservatives had their way, they would kill everybody.
The thing that God does consistently, God is a great God. Regardless of what somebody believe or somebody say, God is who he say he is. He's neither conservative nor liberal. But as Jesus walked this earth, the more we found who he was, what he was doing, he come to set us free. And in setting us free, he gave us liberty. He gave us liberty.
Yes, sir.
What liberty we
yes,
have,
sir.
The more we can do what God has called us to do. You got it, sister.
That's right. That's exactly right. The liberty. And therefore, because if he wasn't so liberal, if God himself wasn't so liberal, he could stop our breath at any time. He could stop a murderer and he has, believe me, he has, when they went to murder the righteous. He could have stopped them. He could have, remember the plagues that he brought upon Israel? I mean, upon Pharaoh, Egypt, all them plagues. Remember, and how good he still was. He let them, the words of their own mouth, condemn them. He let Pharaoh's final judgment declare his own son dead. Pharaoh thought he was going to declare Moses. I mean, I can start from Genesis and work all the way over here to Revelations and show you the liberal liberty of God. But so I don't understand how we've gotten so caught up in this world that I don't care about a sinner doing a sinner thing. I'm talking about you that say you love the Lord. I'm talking about you that say you've been bought with a price. We have been purchased. We no longer have the freedom because we are slaves to God, but not to people, not to things. We're slaves to love. The first and second commandment, to love, hang everything on the first and second commandment. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. As thyself. These are the first. Of course I don't want you to commit adultery and fornication and lie and steal and kill. I don't, but you know what Jesus already said. He that thinketh, when I provoke you to murder, or if I rile y'all up to go out here and want to make you hurt somebody, that's the same thing as murder, and that's the same thing as being a joint heir with the one who's provoking you to do it. Whereas I need to be urging you into love. Y'all need to wake up, because you're going to be caught in the midst of this demonic spirit. It's a strong demonic spirit that's traveling through this land right now. And it's going to sweep a bunch of you in who say you are of God. But the truth's going to show you who you are. You know, the word is going to show you who you really are. We are to be lovers of God. And to love our enemy. Yes, the enemy is necessary. I tell you, evil, the Bible says, yes, in Isaiah 45, I create good and I create evil. Yes, he did. In the same book, he tells you, command God to deliver us from these evil. That's what the Lord's Prayer says, to deliver us from all that is sinful and evil. We have been under dictators and evil people, bosses at our jobs, co-workers that are jealous and evil and hate you without a cause, people that lie on you. But, oh, my God, we as saints, let it not once be named among us. We can't afford to do that. We can't afford to join in with the crowd that's going down the wrong path. We got to separate ourselves and walk upright and love and not teach division and hate, but teach love. God is love, and God is liberal. He lets them people who hate us still continue to breathe. And most of them without oxygen tents, you know. God is good. I just want to quicken you to understand the word of God, that it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do. It is God who has given, you know, we talk about love, but we know that we don't have the ability to just love on our own. I know that. I'm not stupid enough to think I can just say I love you and I love you. I know that it is God who gives me the power to love. I know that. We have not a power. We don't have any power except what God gives us. And he's already given us power. The word of God says in the same book, he gave us power to tread upon serpents. He gave us power. He gave us love. The Holy Spirit inside of us has given us, he is God himself inside of us that made us sons of God, that has made us royal priests, made us kings, and has given us everything that pertain unto life and godliness. Oh, my God. He made us ambassadors. See? He made us ministers. I mean, when you think of the titles that God has just given us alone, it don't mean I have to puff myself up above you. I don't have to exalt myself above you or vice versa, you either over me. We're all servants of the Most High God. And we need to get in, we're in the last D-A-Y, not days, days. We in it. Romans chapter 9 tells us that we're in the last days. There's a few things that haven't come to pass that the word of God has showed us. Israel, when we see Israel going back to Israel, when we see cut off from salvation, where we win in souls now. People are coming to Christ every day. Thank God, thank God. We're praying our families in. We and our whole household is going to be saved. We believe in God. We won't doubt that. We're living the abundant life. The abundant life is Christ in us. That's abundant life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy unspeakable is in us. Yes, sir. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. Yes. And we are made joint heirs. We're not sinners no more, just saved by grace. We are saved, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We have been made priests. These are things that have, this has already taken place. This is why Romans chapters 9:10-9 say, with the mouth you confess and with the heart you believe. That's what you got to do. And you got to hang on to his word, not the lies you hear in the earth, not the mingled up, mixed up. And remember that you have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to learn to rightly divide, because anybody, the letter can kill. Don't let nobody fool you. The letter can kill, but the spirit is the only thing that can give life. And you got to ask God every day for the spirit's with knowledge and leading. Be led by the spirit of God. Thus, another sign, that's the other, that's in Romans chapter 8, that tells you who are the sons of God. They that are led by the spirit are the sons of God. Now, do the spirit lead you to lie? Do the spirit lead you to kill? Do the spirit lead you to think you're more superior than your other brother or sister? Do the spirit make you haughty and exalted and lifted up with pride? No, sir, because the spirit lets us know that we are nothing without Christ. He said it, without me you can do nothing. So that's where I'm coming from tonight, and I want to wake you up, everybody, and know that the Lord is soon to come. And don't be caught up in these lies and this deception. But know this, that the Lord loves them that are called by his name. Not these fake names you hear. His name. He's coming back and he's going to gather his church from the four corners of the world. Yes, sir. And he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. And he's going to have a judgment. Yes, judgment's going to begin at the house of God. And all of those that don't know and have not fallen in after the love of God, because that's one thing you cannot escape. You've got to love. You've got to love. You cannot be walking around here with self-superiority, self-exaltation, self-pride, self-greed. Greed, oh, God, we don't even want to go there. I ain't got but a few minutes. Greed is just taking over this world. It's taking over, taking over. But we are not of them, because we know that we are just passing through. This is our not our home. Be a new heaven and a new earth. We ain't got to worry about this one. And in there will be no liars, no thieves, no division, nobody. There will never be. Just let me make it very plain to y'all. There will never be another Satan rise up in the new heaven. Never, that will never happen. For zillions of years, there will never be another Satan rise up in the new heaven and the new earth. No, sir. So, choose you.
Amen. Choose you who you shall serve. Nobody but God. She had a few more minutes, but I'm over the line to one or two or three people so they have a word. I know I've invited a lady by the name of Beverly. Beverly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and it was beautiful. And
really?
I'm a servant of the Lord, my God, Father.
Amen, amen. Well, I want you to know, Bella, your voice is being heard around the world.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Thank you. And I am and always will be a servant of my Father, God Almighty, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, now
amen.
And forever.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, then hold on. Well, God is so good. Let's see, we got a 5209. Are you there? 5209, are you there? Praise God. I'm calling your last four numbers of your number out. 5209, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, then hold on. Let me do this right quick. Amen. God is so good. Amen. And I've seen this number keep flashing up. And I want this person to know that we love him or her. Your last is 1300. Are you there?
Good afternoon. This is Brother Charles. Yes, I am here.
Hey, Brother Charles, I pray that you've been blessed thus far. We have one more person who's going to talk to us. I call her from Dallas. So we're going to bring on right now. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll give you comments later on, okay?
Amen.
All right. Hello, Ms. Dallas. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
All right, then give us what God has given you today. Bless us what God has blessed you with for us today.
I'm going to read this devotion that I came across today. It's called A Question of Attitude.
Mm-hmm.
A Question of Attitude. And the two scriptures that it refers to is Romans 8:18 and Acts 5:41. And I'm going to read both scriptures, but I'm going to go up to Romans 8:18, and I'm going to read 18 through 25. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In Romans 5:40 says, and to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering shame for his name. and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And the devotion, again, is entitled A Question of Attitude. It says, while suffering happens to all of us, it does not have the same effect upon us all. It all depends upon our inner attitudes. As someone has said, what life does to us in the long run depends upon what life finds in us. Sorrow and suffering make some people querulous and bitter. Others, it's sweetens and refines same event, but with opposite effects. There were three crosses that day on a Judean hill. The same event was happening to three people, but it had three different effects upon them. One thief complained and railed at Jesus for not saving them, and another saw this tragedy as a result of his sins, repented, and through it found an open door into paradise. Third, through the cross, redeemed the race, the same event, but with three entirely different results. So what matters is not what happens to you, but what you do with it after it does happens to you. Your cross can become the bitterest of unrelieved agony, or it may become to you the most blessed of unlimited opportunities. The same sunshine falling on two branches of a tree causes decay in one, growth in the other. It all depends on the response the branches give. One meets sunshine with inner life and more life results. Others meets it with inner death and more death results. Suffering leaves some people withering in helpless agony. Others leaves stronger and more capable of meeting more suffering, capable of meeting anything. It depends on inward response. I just want to talk a little bit about this because our attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. And I like this devotion because we can be going through the same thing. And it depends on our responses to what we are going through. Sometimes we need to, when we're going through, instead of cussing or fussing or fighting, going through it, you know, we need to sometimes see another person. And it's good that Christians or believers or whatever, however you represent yourself for Christ, but it's good that others will hear your testimony, that they may say, okay, well, if she went through the same thing that I went through, why am I stuck in what I'm going through? Then I need to go pull her to the side and talk to her and ask her, how did you come out of what you came or what you went through? We went through the same identical thing, but you seem like you came through okay, but I'm still stuck in what I'm going through. It's all about your attitude and how you perceive what you're going through. A long time ago, many years ago, I heard this young man say he was going through something, and he said, I find it all joy that God finds me worthy to be going through what I'm going through. And I thought that was the craziest thing. But after hearing him really just seeing the expression on his face and seeing that, hey, he was serious. But I thought in my mind, I thought that was the crazy thing because at the same time I was going through something and I couldn't understand why I was going through what I was going through. And my attitude was, I wouldn't say bitter, but I kept challenging what I was going through. I didn't take on a good attitude about what I was going through. But I learned through him to give God praise and glory, to evaluate my situation, to look at my situation and say, hey, it could be a whole lot worse. So, God, I thank you for finding me worthy to be able to go through this, because going through this, I am learning concerning things concerning myself. I'm learning who I am. I am learning things concerning Jackie. So therefore, me going through has caused me to grow. It has caused me to have strength. It's caused me to identify whether or not if there was something that I needed to be repented of, or if it was something that God said, you're worthy, but you're going to go through this, but you're going to come out of this thing. And it's all about the attitude, how you perceive how what you're going through. Can't be like the children of Israel if they was going through the wilderness and they became a little combative. They complained about what they were going through. You know, they wasn't appreciative, you know, of what God had done for them. And here it is. You're got Pharaoh on your back coming after you. But here it is. God created a miracle before you by causing the Red Sea to divide itself, something you've never seen before, something that you've never witnessed before. But you're seeing it with your own two eyes. And God allowed you to go across that thing, and he allowed the waters to come back together and consume your enemies. And yet you're complaining. Yet you're finding something to complain about because you're not satisfied. But it's our attitude, how we perceive what we are going through. I heard a message years ago about when you're going through, you know, make sure that you get your spoils. And those are things that you have to, okay, I'm going through this thing, but what do I need to take from it? What are the spoils? What do I need to take from this thing that I am going through, this thing that I'm facing? How's my attitude, you know, about this thing? So we have to check ourselves, make sure that we have a good attitude about what we're going through, no matter what it is that we're going through. A lot of times people ask me, you know, Jackie, how you doing? The number one thing that they will hear me say, I won't complain. I don't care what it is, I'm not going to complain about it. I am not going to complain about it. So I'm grateful and thankful to God for the growth that he has caused, that I have had going through different things. The same thing that somebody else may have went through, watching them go through, and now I'm going through, seeing their attitude, or they seeing my attitude of how I go through things, you know, because people want to know, is there a God? You know, who's walking with you while you going through that? I tell a lot of people to be talking to this young man, and I said, you know, I said, I can only tell you what worked for me. I can't tell you when I came out of it, but I could tell you what I did while I was going through it. That means I praised God, I worshiped God, I prayed, I fasted. I did what I needed to do while I was in that thing to not make that thing feel like it was worse than what it was, or that I wasn't going to come out. I didn't allow it to consume me. So I have learned through the years I had to check my attitude in order to grow, in order to see things differently while I'm going through things. So, Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for a new attitude. I thank you for a new mindset, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for how, Father God, that you have, Lord God, ordered my footsteps according to your word, Lord God. And, Father God, I thank you, Father God, for the trials, the tribulations, Father God. Those things, Father God, that has caused me to grow. And I pray, Father God, for that one that is listening tonight, Father God, that may find themselves going through something, Lord God. And, Father God, their attitude, Father God, toward what they're going through, Father God, may cause them, Father God, to be bitter, Lord God. So I ask you, Father God, as they go through, Lord God, that you will lead and guide them, that you will minister your word to them, Father God. And, Father God, we just thank you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Praise the living God. Anybody got any statements or questions they want to ask? Praise God. Ooh, that was good. Praise God. Anybody got any questions?
Yes, it was.
Amen. All right, then say something. Amen. All right, I'm listening. Are you there? This is what God does for those of us who know that we love him. He does a great work for us. And I want to say to Miss Dallas, I call her Miss Dallas. I'm going to get her name right one day, but she's Miss Dallas right now. Praise God. God is so good. And sometimes we see things and hear things that causes us to look the opposite way, but God is always there for us. Amen, amen. Well, tonight, amen. Tonight is that night. And Beverly?
Yes.
I thank God for you being here tonight and for you having an expression that your name is being posted on Facebook and your name is being heard out into the universe. So the devil can't go before God and lie and say, this night she wasn't there. We can call him a lie.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I mean, Brother Hunter, thank you so much. And I was listening to Jackie, and what she said hit me so much. And that attitude is meant a lot to me. And I'm going to use her words and read Romans. And I want to thank her so much for that information.
Amen. Amen. Well, you
amen,
know, tonight,
amen.
Well, tonight, Jackie?
Yes.
Would you close us out with prayer, please?
Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that we have had the opportunity to come together, Father God, to hear your word, to minister your word, Father God. And Father God, I pray, Father, that Father God, that your word will take root, that it will grow within us, Lord God. And Father God, I pray, Father God, that you will strengthen and encourage each and every individual that is on this line, Father God, tonight, Father. I ask you, Father God, to touch the hearing of those that are hearing, Father God, the broadcast. And Father God, I pray, Father God, healing, Father God, to those, Father God, who are requesting, Father God, healing tonight, Father God. I pray and ask you to stretch your hand toward them, Lord God. Father God, I pray, Father God, for Dr. Hunter, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you would continue to use him, Lord God. And Father God, that you would bless, Father God, Sister Beverly that is on the line, Father God, and Reverend Love, Father God, that was on the line. I just pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would bless those that are on the line tonight. In Jesus' name, Lord God, ask you to watch over, cover us, and protect us throughout the night, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And everybody
amen,
says amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Okay. God bless you. Shalom. 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 Peace. 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 Amen.
Amen.